Welcome to another time of abundant entrance into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, by the new and living way, consecrated for us into the life within the veil. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith as we hear the word of righteousness with God's servant, Pastor Emeka Eguchukwu.
Let's pray. In Jesus' name, our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you this day. We worship you. We thank you for you said in your word that the entrance of your word gives light and understanding to the simple. We've come with our hearts wide open to you today, and we are asking that your word will enter us. We are asking for access into the things of Christ, access into the epistle, even the life of Christ manifested, revealed in the epistles, and also the life of God manifested and revealed in the epistles. Lord, we trust that today understanding will be granted to everyone wherever we are participating in this broadcast. I thank you. I ask that the spirit of understanding will rest upon every heart for the purpose of entrance in the name of Jesus. Help me, I pray, even for utterance, that I will speak exactly how and what you want me to speak. Yea, as your oracle, I pray, help me in the name of Jesus. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. We give God praise for today. We bless the name of the Lord. I want to welcome everybody to Epistle Life today. God has been gracious to us. God bless you. All right, let's go into God's Word today. We are back in Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. God has been blessing us so well. Philippians chapter 2. Last time we looked at holding forth the word of faith, and I was trying to make us see what it means to hold forth the word of faith, which is the word of life. And then we ended up, you know, seeing what God's word is, what you call the word of God, which is the breath of God. It was so profound, and I don't want to go into it again because of I want to be able to cover up. I know a lot of people are saying, when are we going to be true? But I always want to encourage us not to be in a hurry because I wait upon the Lord. I wait upon, as it we are, verse by verse. I wait upon the scriptures verse by verse as I'm teaching this. I wait upon the Lord, basically for the Lord to speak to me, for the Lord to inspire me, for the Lord to open my eyes to really see what the Spirit, because there is no verse in the scripture, there is no sentence in the scripture that is just an addendum. There is no verse in the scripture that is just a waste or just to fill in the gaps. Every sentence, every verse, every chapter, even when we read, I know we have, according to our Bible historians, they have what they call minor prophets and major prophets. Now, I don't read it with that mind. I don't read Malachi, for instance, with that mind. I don't read Nahum, Habakkuk, with that mind, because I know there is really nothing like minor prophets. Maybe they were just giving minor prophets because of how small their prophecy was, and then major prophets, Isaiah, because of how lengthy their prophecy was, or how the scope of their prophecy. But I want you to understand that one major thing about it is that all of them testified about Christ. So there is no testimony of Christ that is minor or major. All the testimonies of Christ, they are all saying the same thing. And that's what the scripture holds. So why I'm saying that, I'm just trying to make you see that why I wait upon every verse to know the mind of God, what the Lord is actually saying through that verse. Amen. So I want us to quickly go to verse. I may not be able to read a lot because of time. Verse 16, holding forth the word of faith that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labor in vain. Then verse 17, yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I rejoice and joy, and I joy and rejoice with you all, for the same cause also do you joy and rejoice with me. But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timotheus shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state. Amen. Now, I want to just look at what is it exactly that Paul was talking about in verse 16. Now, as insignificant as that, you know, sometimes we read it, we don't understand it, especially with the King James colloquial English. I personally, as a preacher, while I was, you know, going through it, I almost brushed through and just left it. I wanted to just quickly begin to go to where Paul began to talk about Timothy being of like mind, naturally, who will care for your state and all of that. That was a more juicy part to come cover. But the Lord had to bring me back to 16, and I couldn't just go away from that verse 16, because there was something he wanted to, or he wants to communicate. There's something he wants to say in verse 16. That verse 16 is so profound. As I began to look into it and study it, and I discovered that it's so profound a truth. It's so profound that we can't just... It's like, I want to say, it's like somebody who is journeying, and then you have to come to a particular place where you have to kind of stop and adjust before you continue. That's what that verse 16 is like. Or as Samuel, the book of Psalm, you read some Psalms, it will just, because Psalm is actually a rendition. That's, I'm talking about the book of Psalm, even though it's a prophecy, even though it's an understanding, but the way it was rendered is such a poetry skill that you find words like Selah. You know, Selah means ponder over it. So verse 16 is like one of those Selah in the book of Philippians. There are many Selahs. I can give you many Selahs, but some of those Selahs, sailors are always, sorry, I'm using the word sailor, is sailor. All right. Most of these sailors are normally, what I see in it is that there are truths that are buried in it, in those sailor, that if you don't stop to ponder over it, you will miss it. In all of those sailors, they are truths that are buried in the sailor. Like verse 16 is a sailor. Verse 17, basically. Verse 17 and verse 18 is a sailor. Meaning there are truths that are, I want you to watch that. I'm speaking by the Spirit. Wherever you say sailor, it, like you find in the book of Psalm, that word sailor means ponder over it. Why do you ponder over it? Why do I need to ponder over it? Because they are truths that are buried there that I may not easily see if I do not stop to ponder over it. So this verse 17 and verse 18 is a sailor. Meaning it's a point where we have to ponder, stop and ponder over the truth that is buried, or ponder over that scripture to be able to fetch the truth by the Spirit that is buried under these two verses. So let's go through it together as the Lord began to help me see. Verse 16 and verse 17. Yea, and if I be offered, if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith. Now, Paul was taking an understanding from the Old Testament, from Leviticus and Numbers, because you see, there you will find the explanation of offerings and sacrifices, or sacrifices and offerings. Now, there is what is called drink offering. Drink offering. Now, one of the things Paul said that excited me so much is found in the book of Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 15. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 15. Paul said, "And I will very gladly spend and be spent for you." Now, for me, those are words that are very heavy. Those are words that are very heavy. Now, we might not understand the import of what Paul is saying here until you understand the commitment of Paul to the gospel, or commitment of Paul to the Lord Jesus, and commitment of Paul to the brethren, or to believers, or to the churches. You would understand. But Paul saw himself as a sacrifice. Saw himself as a sacrifice. Like he said, and I will gladly, meaning I won't do it grudgingly. You remember previously he said, do all things without murmuring or disputing. Meaning I will not do it grudgingly. Rather, I will gladly spend and be spent. Now, that spending is not just talking about money. Of course, there is no way you'll be that you will be leading people and you will not have to spend. But basically, it's not money. He was talking about what he has become. What I mean, substances that he has gathered. Now, the gathering of those substances, even the revelations that we are giving to him, was not just for him. Of course, the principle is take heed to your doctrine, to your preaching, that he was telling Timothy, that's the principle, that you may save yourself. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue daring. Now, Paul was telling Timothy what he did, how he arrived at the place where he is. Take heed to thyself and unto the doctrine. Meaning, pay attention to yourself. Pay attention to your walk with God. Pay attention to your communion with the Lord, the Spirit of the Lord. Pay attention to your prayer life. Pay attention to your study life. Pay attention to every aspect of your spiritual life. Pay attention to it. And pay attention unto the doctrine. Now, you will not adequately pay attention unto yourself without the doctrine. You know why? Why? Because the doctrine is like the mirror. The doctrine is like the mirror, meaning the doctrine is the standard. The doctrine is what you look at when you're paying attention to yourself. Now, if you pay attention to yourself without the doctrine, I'm not sure you will get the desired result. If you pay attention to yourself, for instance, without the doctrine, you might be disappointed at yourself. If you pay attention to yourself without the doctrine, of course, some people talk about self-evaluation, self-appraisal. Now, self-appraisal without the doctrine will either make you proud or will make you depressed. So, is not without the doctrine. That attention to yourself. Now, of course, paying attention to yourself means doing all you need to do diligently. Being diligent spiritually. The scripture said, "Seest thou a man who is diligent in business?" Now that business is not just the business of, you know, making money. "Seest thou a man who is diligent?" I want to use that word, diligent, in his business. His business is spiritual business. Like Jesus said, "Know you not that I should be about my Father's business?" He said, "He shall stand before kings, and he shall not stand before mean men." Meaning he will not stand before men. He will stand before kings. There are kings in the spirit. There are kings in the spirit. Meaning you'll come into some stature that will enable you take a stand where kings stand. Kings are men of righteousness. Kings are men who have walked in the path of righteousness and has come into inheritance, what you call king of righteousness, king of peace. Those are kings that we are talking about here. But the man has to be diligent in his business. The same thing James talked about. He that looketh into this perfect law of liberty, him not being a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, the same shall be blessed. The same shall be blessed. This man shall be blessed in his deeds. Why? You can put it this way. This man shall be blessed in his business. Why? So the business there was the business spiritual. Yeah, I want to say that. So such a man, sayest thou a man who is this, he will be blessed. Now, back to that Timothy, where he was talking, he said, "Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue therein, for in doing this, thou shalt both save yourself." Now, to save yourself, that is taking it to yourself and to the doctrine and continuing in the doctrine. Now, I want to emphasize this, that we will not arrive at the place that Paul was talking about here without continuity in the doctrine. We'll not be able to get to this point if we do not continue in the doctrine. Say, continue in them, that is, in the doctrine. In doing this, thou shall both save thyself. Now, that save thyself is what he was talking about there. He said, "Work out your salvation with fear and trembling." Now, that was if you look at verse 12 of Philippians chapter 2, "Working out your salvation with fear and trembling entails taking heed to yourself and unto the doctrine and continuing daring, so that you will both save yourself." That save yourself is working out your salvation with fear and trembling, and them that hear you. So, in other words, this is what I'm saying. Paul had gone through this because he wouldn't have been able to communicate this principle to Timothy if he had not experienced it himself. So, in other words, it means that Paul has experienced it, you know, and has come to a place. Paul got to a place. These are junctions that we need to really, that's why he said sailor. These are junctions we need to ponder. There was something happening here that Paul was trying to bring out. Now when he said, "I will gladly spend." You don't spend what you don't have. I can't talk about spending, "Oh, I will spend on you if I don't have any money." For instance, I'm using money for instance. I can say, no, don't worry. I will spend anything you want me to spend, you know, because I just like you. You know, if somebody makes you a promise, maybe of some huge amount of money, you look at the guy and the guy is looking tattered and he's not looking well. Will you take the promise serious? You know? That's why I used to tell some people when they go to and say that they want to, you know, those people that do, I'm sorry I'm mentioning this on air, those that go to do Baba Ijebu. I used to tell them, I said, first of all, God is not in that kind of thing because that's not the pattern. God's pattern is faith. Now, if the person who is doing that thing, if that thing is really working, he won't be where he is. He would have made so much money. And if it is working, he won't even show you. Because nobody knows what is that works. Man naturally selfish will not know what works for him, especially in the area of making money, and will want to let others know. He will want to keep it so that he will be the only sun shining, and then every other person will be subservient to him. That is the nature of man. That is the nature of a selfish man. But like I said, When he said, I will very gladly spend. Now, he can spend because he has gathered. What did he gather? He gathered Christ as treasures. He gathered substances of Christ. So when he said, I will very gladly spend, he was talking about spending Christ as substance and be spent. Spent is be emptied. Now he said, you're spent, meaning you have emptied your purse. Now, the purse here of Paul was not the bag he carried, but his soul. Now, one of the churches, Galatians, he talked about, I will not just communicate to you just my doctrine, but my own soul. We didn't just communicate to you just our doctrine, but our soul. Meaning that our soul, the soul is like the bag, the storehouse, where treasures are kept. And the treasures that Paul had, to me is given, he said, to preach the unsearchable riches of Christ. Another place he said, the abundance of revelation that was given to me. Now it's called the unsearchable riches of Christ. So there are riches, there are treasures. They are with him. Praise God. Amen. They are with him. And so he can say, I will very gladly spend and be spent. Though the more abundantly I love you, the less I be loved. You know, these are men that are terrific. Look at what he's saying here. He was talking to the Corinthian church. Even though I am doing this out of abundant love that I have for you, but even though that the more I love you, the more I am less loved by you. Because that was the encounter he was having with the church in Corinthians. The church in Corinthians was one of the churches that actually, in the epistles, that actually troubled Paul a lot, you know, trying to devalue his apostleship by comparing him with other apostles. Simply because of the way he humbled himself to minister to them, they did not value him that much. And of course, it's always like that. When a minister brings himself low, not just because of the dealing of Christ, but because of the nature of Christ that he has imbibed, one of the things is that you will be despised. Now that's part of what you as a minister, if you're a minister of the gospel, a minister of the New Testament, a minister of Christ, one of the things you will suffer, you'll see that very much in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, chapter 5, 6, where Paul was talking about the things that has to do, that he called it a sign of apostleship. Part of it is that you're despised. You know, so he was saying that even though the more I love you, the more you despise me, but I will keep on doing that. Amen. Hallelujah. When I see these things, I just pray sometimes. I say, God, help me to be like Paul. Give me that kind of heart. That when I'm despised, that I could be easily despised because of the cloak of humility or because of the more of you that I have taken, you know, on. Because you see, you can't minister Christ to people effectively without the bowel of mercy of Christ, without the humility in Christ, without the meekness in Christ. You can't minister Christ effectively to people without all of those things. And some ministers, I'm sorry, I'm not accusing anybody, some ministers will not take that position of where they are easily despised. I'm trying to show you the riches that he's spending. Will not want to take that place where they are despised. No, they wouldn't want to take that position, that disposition of being despised. So they will do everything to beef themselves up, beef up their profile, beef up, you know, their... And then it is... You don't understand what I'm saying here, but I pray God gives you understanding. But the reason is that they don't want that place of being despised. But I want to tell you that being despised is to you a plus. If you've not, as a minister of Christ, because Paul was talking about there in 2 Corinthians, he was talking about his CVs. Now, those things, If you be in a position where you are, I'm not saying that we don't honor, we honor ministers of the gospel. But I want you to understand also that there are times when you will be despised. And there are times, and the more you become a minister of Jesus Christ, a minister of the life of Jesus Christ, the more you will be despised. Also, though the more I abundantly love you, now that love you means that not just love with mouth or just affection, you could find out the way Paul ministered to them. When you read 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, they are the longest of all the epistles, you know. So Paul abundantly loved them and ministered to them. And he was saying, the more I do that, the less I be loved. So this is what I'm trying to make you see. That you can't minister Christ's life without, as a minister of Christ, without the meekness of Christ, without the bowel of mercy of Christ, without the humility of Christ. Now, the more you come into such heart disposition, the more you imbibe Christ that way, the more effectively you can minister to the church. Now, one of the reasons why Satan will stir up in the hearts of those who are hearing you, or those, I'm just saying that I'm also encouraging someone. The reason why Satan will stir up in the heart of those who are hearing you, who you're ministering to despise you, is for you to remove the cloak of humility. For you to take a disposition, we are no, nobody will put me down. No. Is it because I'm a pastor? Is it because I'm a minister of the gospel? No, I know who I am. Now you've just taken up the cloak of humility. And that's what Satan wants. And then you lose your authority in ministering Christ. So the authority in ministering Christ to the saints, to the believers, is found in the life of meekness and in the life of humility. And in the life of accepting conditions that Paul was talking about here, being despised. Amen. Despised, you bear it. Now, like I said, the reason for that being despised, Satan will stir it up in the heart of people, is so that you can, to make, force you to remove that garment of humility. And is a very important garment of Christ. That garment, you lose it, you will preach, yes. You will minister, yes. You can even flow with the anointing, yes. You can have a lot of people listening to you, yes. But your words will not be able to craft Christ in them. Your words will not be able to, you know, it will not have the power of the breath that God intends for it to have. His effect in the life of those that are hearing you, because that's what Paul was telling Timothy, so that you save yourself and them that hear you. The effect of it in the life of those that hear you for the purpose of salvation will come short. So you will be despised. So we take it as part of our badge. So you despise, you're despised. But Paul, in the midst of that, still said, I am willing to spend. Can you give me that place? That's what I was talking about. I will very gladly spend and be spent for you, though the more abundantly I love you, I am less loved. That's what I was talking about. That less loved is not just that they don't love him. No, they also despised him. They also despised. Some people count him as fool. Some people count him to be beside himself. You know, some people say, oh no, he's lesser than the apostles. He's not one of the apostles. Look at it. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, I was talking about. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 10. He said, we are fools for Christ's sake. Now, if you're going to minister Christ, you have to come to this place. We are fools for Christ's sake, but ye are wise in Christ. Paul was telling them, we are fools for Christ's sake, but you are wise in Christ. We are weak, but ye are strong. You are honorable, but we are despised. Now that is it. Because as you are emptying all those things, as you are spending those things, as you are giving those things out, you take a more humble position, a more, I'll call it, more despisable position. And that more despisable position is an advantage, but many don't know it. It's an advantage to assess more of Christ. It's an advantage to assess more of Christ. I pray that God will give us understanding in these things that I'm talking about. Amen. That for a minister who you are despised, don't run away because you're being despised. You can be despised. That's part of it. Amen. If you're looking for reward from the master, those are some of the things you have to put up with, even while you minister to people. Praise God. Somebody said, you need to go to where you're celebrated, not where you're tolerated. Well, I don't know about that, but in Christ, sometimes you have to go to where you are tolerated. Because the Lord has given you, especially when the Lord has given you an assignment to minister to. So you're not looking at men's acceptance. We're not looking at men's acceptance or men's approval. Our approval is Christ. Now, if we are approved of God and we obey God, after a while, men will also begin to... Jesus said something very interesting. He said, no one can come to me except the one whom the Father has drawn near. He said, if you've been taught of God, you would have known this doctrine. You will know me, you will recognize me if you were taught of God. All those who are taught of God come to me. He said, no man come to me except the Father which has sent me, draw him. The Father which has sent me has to draw you. Now, you can't come to me just like that. Something has to happen. Amen. Hallelujah. All right, let's go further. I'm trying to explain something here. Even if I don't finish it today, I'll continue next broadcast. Praise God. So he said, I'll gladly spend and be spent for you. I'll gladly spend. So what is Paul actually spending? Paul is spending not just money. Of course, if he had money, part of what they did those days was they were more eager and more willing to minister to the poor brethren. That is, they had that liberal heart to give. But that is not what he was talking about here when he was talking about spending and being spent. He was talking about the riches of Christ which he has gathered. He said, I will gladly spend. Now, to spend here means he will minister. I will gladly minister. And what am I ministering? Now, I want to say this so that you understand what I'm talking about. It wasn't talking about preaching. Just preaching. For a young minister of the gospel, when I was much younger as a minister of the gospel, I love preaching. Oh, I love preaching. Every one of us, when we are younger as a minister, you love preaching. You just want to just preach up the storm. Preach everywhere. Preach down the rain and all of that. Preach until you raise a hurricane. Amen. You just like preaching. Now, at that moment, I want you to understand, at that particular time, amen, I don't want to say this, but permit me to just don't get angry with me. You are like what the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 13 was talking about. If I speak in tongues of men and of angels, and without charity, that charity there is something you've done. It's not just something you show. Without charity, meaning without Christ. What am I? I am a sounding brass and a tingling cymbal. So I was once a sounding brass. I don't want to talk about every other person, but I was once a sounding brass and a tingling cymbal. Why? Because I did not have charity. To have charity is not just, okay, to have charity means you must have done faith, done hope, and come to obey the commandments of charity, which are all the curriculums of Christ. And by so doing, you've imbibed the substances of Christ. So I love that. And have not. So I have to have. If I don't have, so Paul had charity. That was what he was spending. He had charity. He has done charity. He has done. He has gathered Christ, has imbibed Christ as a treasure in his heart. So you could say, if there be any bowel of mercy, let's look at that so that you can see what I'm talking about. Verse, where I started in that chapter 2. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ. Are you seeing it? This consolation is not just any other consolation. In Christ. If any comfort of love in Christ. If any fellowship of the Spirit in Christ. If any bowels and mercies in Christ. So, in Christ is what qualifies all of them. So that in Christ is also in charity. Because Christ is charity. The beak of Christ is charity. So you can say this is what it means that somebody has charity. I have charity. So if I speak in tongues of men and of angels and have not charity or have not those things that we have talked about here in Philippians chapter 2, he called it comfort in Christ. Consolation in Christ, comfort of love in Christ, fellowship of the Spirit in Christ, bowels of mercy in Christ. Now, I need to have all those things before you can say that this person has charity. Now, if I don't have it, as a young minister, I want to say this. None of us, as a matter of fact, so that you don't just think that I'm saying it concerning one person. None of us actually started out preaching and knew everything about Christ. No, we didn't. So at the point that we did not know, we were simply a sounding brass and a tingling cymbal. So I can tell you that there was a point where I was a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. The reason is that I didn't have charity. Amen. I didn't have charity. At that moment, I didn't have charity. So if I didn't have charity, then what am I spending? So I was trying to make you see this. That at that point where I was a sounding brass and a tingling cymbal, I wanted to preach everywhere. You just go everywhere preaching. And you say, but is it not the word of God? It's the word of God. Will God not use it? God will use it to the best that he can. But to be candid with you, you are almost, let me not say you, in the rate of usage before the Lord, at that moment where I'm a sounding brass and a tingling cymbal, I'm almost useless. In fact, I caused trouble at this point. Caused a lot of trouble. Caused a lot of trouble. Preaching everywhere. Amen. The reason was no charity. But you know, as you now begin to, I want to show you what it means to spend, because I said it's not just preaching. It's not money we're talking about. It has to do with ministering. Now, it's not just preaching. To minister is not just preaching only. Now, like I said, at that moment, one was a sounding brass and a tingling cymbal. You want to preach everywhere. But as you grow, as you gather substances, as you become Christ the more, as you gather the substances of Christ. Now, it doesn't mean that you want to hoard them or you are not willing to give them. But the more of these things you gather, the more imprisoned you are. The more they take you into the captivity of Christ. They make you a captive of Christ. A captive of Christ is one who won't just do anything that he wants to do. You can't just do anything that you want to do. Now, at that moment, preaching stopped just being an excitement. Now, when you hear Paul say things like, necessity is laid on me. Woe is me if I preach not the gospel. Hey, understand something there. Paul said, woe is me if I preach not the gospel. I'm preaching this gospel because necessity is laid on me. For though I preach the gospel, that's 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 16. Though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of. You know, as a young minister, when you are a sounding brass, a tingling cymbal. So I just finished preaching in so-and-so place. In fact, right now I have 3 days ministration at Ijebode. When I finish from Ijebode, I'm going to be going down to Kafanchan. I have a 7 days conference talking to ministers of the gospel. You know, all those kind of things. And you know, you are that person is still, he has something to glory of. The glory is in the preaching. But when it comes to ministering, when you're spent and you are being spent, it is not, there is nothing to glory. It becomes a matter of necessity by reason of commission. First of all, by reason of imprisonment, commission, because they can't commission whom they've not imprisoned. They, by reason of imprisonment and commission, it is a weight. So preaching now becomes a weight. And then you can say, necessity is laid on me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. So it's not a matter of glory, it's a matter of escaping from the woe. Yea, woe is unto me. That woe means danger. If I preach not the gospel. Now, I just want to say this in wrapping up this point that I'm trying to make. That as that tingling cymbal, you know, that noise sounding brass and a tingling cymbal, you want to preach everywhere. But by the time you now become a minister of Christ, by the time you begin to see what it entails to be a minister of Christ, many of us actually want to run away. But you can't run because necessity is laid on you. You have to just keep on preaching it. And keep on preaching it. Now, Paul said, at this moment, I gladly am willing to spend and be spent. So we can now begin to understand that willingness to spend and be spent for you. So he was saying something like that to the church in Philippi when he began to talk about it. But let me mention thing, and I want to go back to it so that you can understand my thoughts today. It's a drink offering upon the sacrifice of the faith of the Philippian church. Now, of course, Numbers chapter 28:7, where it talked about, you find it in Numbers, you also find it also in Leviticus Numbers. But let's read Numbers 28:7. It said, And the drink offering therefore shall be the fourth part of an hin for the one lamb. In the holy place shall thou cause the strong drink to be poured unto the Lord for a drink offering. Now, for the purpose of moving forward, so that I don't spend much time in it. Now, drink offering was in addition to every offering that was made. Drink offering is always in addition to offerings, meat offering. They are offerings. They are different types of offerings. You know, we have burnt offering, we have thanksgiving offering, we have sin offering, we have a whole lot of offerings. I don't want to go into them, but they are offerings. And part of what accompanies it is a drink offering. This drink offering is a type of Christ. Amen. It's a type of Christ. Or drink offerings are types, various types and aspects of Christ. Christ's life. Now, it's not... You start, first of all, offering meat offering before you can become a drink offering. Now, I want you to understand that Christ was all of this. Offerings and sacrifices all speaks of Christ, whether meat offering, drink offering, offering of bulls and all of that, all those offerings, they all speak of Christ. Give me that place. For Christ being come, so Christ being come a high priest, Hebrews. So Christ being come a high priest of good things to come by a greater and a more perfect tabernacle, not made with hand, that is to say, not of this house, of this building, go further, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood. Are you seeing that? Sacrifice. Now, he is all the sacrifices in measures. Sin offering, there was a time he was sin offering. Burnt offering, there was a time he was burnt offering. All of those offerings, there was a time when he was all of them, but he also was the highest offering. So you can't talk about offering. Offering from the beginning to the end is just Christ. Sacrifices from the beginning to the end is Christ. Amen. Sacrifices from the beginning to the end is Christ. Now, let me go further. But by his own blood, he entered once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. So there was a sacrifice required for obtaining eternal redemption. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of Haifa, sprinkling the unclean, sanctified to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal spirit, now this is a very high sacrifice, offered himself without spot unto God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. So I just want to show you something here, that Christ is also drink offerings. So drink offerings always accompany sacrifices, always accompany sacrifices and service. I love the way he called it in Philippians, your sacrifice and your service of faith. So here, Paul was such a drink offering. 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 4, you can see where Paul was talking about. 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 4. Paul was such a drink offering. Verse 2 Timothy chapter 4 verse 6, 2 Timothy 4, 6. Let's look at it. 4, 6. 2 Timothy 4, 6. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. We'll look at that more next week, but let's look at this, that Paul became a drink offering. Now, like I said, Christ, our Lord Jesus Christ, epitomized for us, or is the all about sacrifices, all about service, all about offerings, are all in Christ. Christ is all of this. Now, anyone Christ teaches, or anyone who imbibes Christ, part of what you also become, you become a sacrifice. If anyone wants to follow me, let him take up his cross. If you want to follow me, you have to deny yourself and take up your cross and follow me. What does that to deny is a sacrificial word. If anyone will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. So, is the whole life of Christ is a life of sacrifice. So you have to be spent, you have to spend, and you have to be spent. You have to spend and be spent. On top of your spending, you will be spent. It's just showing you the life of Christ, that it is a life of sacrifice. is a life of sacrifice. The life of Christ is a life of sacrifice. They teach you this sacrifice at various levels. Hallelujah. Let's go further. So like I said, Paul became such a drink offering. How? He embodied Christ, imbibed Christ, and enjoyed Christ to the point that he himself became a drink offering as a sacrifice unto God upon the faith of the Philippian church. Now, the faith of the Philippian church was a sacrifice and a service unto God. But Paul's life has become a drink offering that will accompany that sacrifice. I wish I could explain it much better. I'm looking for utterance here, words to explain it. Paul had journeyed by reason of imbibing Christ. He has come to the embodying Christ. He has come to the place where he has become a drink offering by what? Embodying Christ, enjoying Christ, and he could now become a drink offering to accompany the sacrifices and the service of the Philippian church. Yea, if I be offered upon the sacrifice and the service of your faith, their faith, which is the faith of the Philippian church, had become a sacrifice and a service. Now, for faith to become a sacrifice and a service unto God, then it means that that church has done Christ. God does not receive an offering that is not yet Christ. Now, what God is expecting from us as believers, as church, is to become a sacrifice. Churches must offer up. Let's look at Revelation chapter 1, verse 6. And has made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and all and dominion forever and ever. 5:10. Revelation 5:10. You can see it there also. 5:10. Revelation 5:10. And hath made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. Now he has made us priests and kings. So what God is actually wanting believers to come to is where they can become kings and priests. Kings and priests unto God. Now, when we read this place, king and priest catches our attention. Unto God does not catch our attention. Now, that unto God is the word for offering or sacrifice. When you say something unto God, you are an offering or a sacrifice when it is unto God. But like I said, what catches our attention more is kings and priests. And the reason why it catches our attention is because we have an understanding, a carnal understanding of kings and priests. But when you understand that kings and priests simply means sacrifices and offering. So in other words, what God wants us to be, every one of us, is to become sacrifices and offering. But you start becoming, first of all, sacrifice. You learn the life of sacrifice before you become offering. All these are lives that are in Christ. Sacrifice, then offering. You start with sacrifice, then you become offering. Now, Paul had become an offering. Offering, not just ordinary offering, but drink offering that can be poured out. You look at that place in the book of Numbers 28, verse 7. Numbers 28, 7. Let's read it again. And the drink offering thereof shall be the fourth part of an hin for the one lamb. So one lamb, you have a fourth part of an hin. While you're offering the one lamb in the holy place, in the holy place. Now you offer the lamb in the outer court. That offering of lamb in the outer court, what accompanies that sacrifice, which will enter into the holy place, is the wine offering of strong wine or drink offering, which you will pour unto the Lord for a drink offering. Sacrifice had been made, the one lamb, then one lamb will have to have an hin for the one lamb, which will have to be taken to the holy place to be poured as a drink offering. Christ for us entered. That was just what was playing out there. While we were brought, Christ for us entered into the holiest of all. First of all, entered into the tabernacle, entered into the holy place, entered into the holiest of all. All that he was becoming in those places, we are drink offering to God. Even sacrifices he has made, but now he's becoming drink offering to God. Upon our sacrifice of faith, our believing, we've believed, we've walked with God, we are living his life, because it doesn't just stop with believing. We are living the life. As we are living the life, amen. As we are living the life, because it's a life that has to be lived, and it's a life of sacrifice. I'll tell you one of the things that, let me continue so that you will understand me better. Sacrifices and service of the church in Philippi has become an offering to God, a sacrifice unto God, but needed to be accompanied with a drink offering, which Apostle Paul became. Apostle Paul had to become that drink offering. Now, that drink offering accompanying the offering is to perfect the offering. Now, the only life that can perfect an offering, the only life that can perfect a sacrifice, only life that can perfect a sacrifice is Christ's life. Now, when we are talking about Paul being poured out, it's not just the Paul as a man. We're talking about Paul who has become Christ, that now has to be poured out for to seal up the sacrifice and the service of the Philippian church. This is a mystery. This is a mystery. Now, it's deeper than even what I'm explaining to you right now. It's deeper than what I'm explaining to you. Now, these things take place in the spirit. We don't even know how they happen. But I want to show you something here. That, when you hear finisher or perfecter of faith, I want you to note something there. That it is actually, you know, I love this. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Yeah. Jesus is the author and I will call it the ultimate author and the finisher of our faith. He began it and he finished it. But there is a way when someone has become Christ by imbibing the life of Christ, the substances of Christ have come into his cup. Like I'm holding this glass of water. Do you call it glass of sand? Huh? It's glass. Glass actually is made up of sand. But you call it glass of sand? What do you call it? So, what makes it glass of water? Why not glass of sand? It's the content. Now, if you remove the water and pour Fanta into it, what do you call it? Glass of Fanta. Amen. So that is the same way. Paul, what the content in him had become Christ. He has become Christ. First of all, he began with sacrifices, service, and he went further to now become a drink offering. Very high. And the Bible called it there in Numbers 28, strong drink. It became a drink offering that now has to be poured out to the Lord upon the sacrifice and service of the faith of the Philippian church. So like I said, there's a way one, as you become and embody Christ and, you know, imbibe Christ, taking up Christ, you get to the point where they will now, instead of calling you glass of sand, you are called glass of water. Okay, let's say what you is inside of you is Christ. We say glass of Christ. I don't know whether you understand me. So when we pour, what did we pour? Christ. But the Christ that was poured is the Christ in Paul. The Christ that Paul has imbibed. That Christ that Paul has imbibed, God wants it as a drink offering to accompany the service and the sacrifice of the Philippian church. God will receive, when God sees that sacrifice, that service is completed. Why? Because there's a life of Christ that was poured. Hallelujah. Now, I want to say this, that Jesus is the first drink offering. And he also wants his ministers to get to the point where they also will become drink offering. So when you can now understand what Paul was saying, I am willing to spend and be spent. I will very gladly rejoice, I will be glad to be poured out and be spent. Not just poured out. You know, I can have a glass of Christ, you know, in me, and I pour out small upon the sacrifice and service of the Philippian church. I pour out small upon the sacrifice and the service of the Corinthian church, the Galatian church. They are libations upon their sacrifice and their service. Libations, sacrifice and service of their faith. Those libations go with it. Or those sacrifices go with this libation. But Paul was saying, I don't only just want to, I want to be spent. I want everything to be poured out. That's the heart of a servant. That's the heart that God will want every one of us as a minister, first of all, even as believers. We should, I know somebody say, oh, but thank God I'm not a pastor. This is just for pastors. No, every one of us have to, because we have, I love this, and has made us, he didn't say had made the ministers, had made us priests and kings, or kings and priests. He didn't say has made the ministers, had made the pastors, priests, kings and priests. He has made us. So what he has made us is what everybody has to become. So everybody has to get to the place where you do Christ to the point where you become a drink offering ready to be poured out upon the sacrifice and service. Because there's no way you will be a... You know what? Sometimes when people say, I'm not a pastor, I'm not a minister of the gospel, there is no way you become Christ and you're not minister. No. There's no way you become Christ. That's what I said to you at the beginning. The ministry is not just the preaching. As Christ, you might not be a preacher, but you minister. Your life ministers. Because with you is comfort of the Spirit, consolation, fellowship of the Spirit. With you are those things, bowels and mercies. Comfort of love, consolation that is in Christ. With you, you can't have them. Those things minister, those things speak. So you enter in a place, or you come into a place, you are ministering already without even knowing it. So it's not basically so that you don't just think about it as, oh, this is for ministers, this is not for everybody. No, it's for everybody. God wants us to come to the place where we become drink offering that will accompany the sacrifice and service of those who are coming. There are those who are coming, who are also coming up. Our life, the Christ that we have become, to the point where we become a drink offering, is to be poured out in ministering to the Lord. Now, one of the ways Paul poured it out was in his preaching, in his tribulation, in his trials, in his infirmities, in his nakedness, sometimes in his fasting. He mentioned all of that in chapter 4 of 2 Corinthians. Began to make, okay, let's read this place. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 20. It said, for you suffer if a man bring you under bondage, if a man devour you, if a man take of you, if a man exalt himself, if a man smite you on the face. Now, these are some of the kind of ministers. We'll look at them more by the time we'll be talking about the type of person that Timothy was to Paul. Then verse 21, I speak as concerning reproach, as though we have been weak. Howbeit, wherein so even any is bold, I speak foolishly, I am bold also. Paul was trying to, talk about his apostleship because he has faced being despised. Amen. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? In labor, more abundantly. Praise God. In labor, more abundantly. In stripes, above measure, in prison, more frequently, in debt, often. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rod, once was I stoned, thrice I suffered shipwreck. It was only one shipwreck that was mentioned in Acts of the Apostles, but Paul was saying he suffered shipwreck 3 times. A night and a day I had been in the deep. In journey, often, in peril of waters, in peril of robbers, in peril by my own countrymen, in peril of the heathen, in peril, that's danger, in the city, in peril in the wilderness. So, even when he's in the wilderness, he's in danger. When he's in the city, he's in danger. In peril of the sea, in peril of first brethren, in weariness, and painfulness, in watching often, in hunger, in thirst, in fasting often, in cold and nakedness. Besides those things that are without, that which come upon me daily, the care of all the churches. That is, apart from just the things that happen around him, the care of the burden. So, in other words, what Jesus laid upon Paul was the burden of the churches. That's a minister. That's a minister. Besides those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Who is weak and I'm not weak? Who is offended and I burn not? If I must need glory, I will glory of the things which concern my infirmities. I want to stop there. Paul began to talk about it and talk about it and talk about it. I was just reprimanding the church in the church of Corinth, but we can you know, draw things there. So you can how Paul was and was something. You know, someone will say, oh, no, is this one? Now, if you are without, I don't know how to put it. Paul said, none of us is sufficient of these things. Our sufficiency is of Christ. Now, if you're not a wine, if you're not a drink offering, you Christ as a drink offering until you yourself become a drink offering. Meaning you become a strong wine. You become a strong wine by drinking Christ as wine. You won't go through this. These are not ordinary things. Thrice shipwreck. Have one shipwreck and see if you will be willing to go again. The one recorded in the Acts of the Apostles, every one of us is still afraid of it. Euroclidon. You want to face Euroclidon, you have to be wined. I use that word. You have to be wined. You have to have drank wine until you yourself become wine. Most of those guys were able to do what they did because they have become wine. They didn't just drink wine. They have become wine. May we become wine. May we become drink offering. These last days, what we are going to be seeing are men who have become drink offerings. If you're not a drink offering, you will not be able to suffer for Christ. You'll not be able to make sacrifices that are required for the faith of other believers to grow. You have to be sedated. You have to have drunk. Not sedation is not, it's even a small. I'm talking about you becoming wine yourself. Meaning you've imbibed the spirit of Jesus Christ. Paul said, we have in the same spirit of faith. Wine is spirit. We have in the same spirit of faith. Wine is spirit. So it means spirit of faith if is the wine of faith. The spirit of faith will intoxicate you, or you will drink the spirit of faith until you drink it unto charity. Charity is the strong drink of Christ. By the time you are in charity, then you can go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and you see what charity does. Now, many of us have tried to do what is in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Trying everything we can, you know, struggling, you fall, it's good. I don't condemn it, but this is the, you have to become wine. If you become wine, you won't even know where, this will just be your life. Chapter 13 will be your life. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 will be your life. You will not be easily provoked. You will not think evil of anybody. You will not rejoice in iniquity. You rejoice in truth. You will not be puffed up. You know, for you to bear all things, believe all things, hope all things, endure all things, you have to have wine. Amen. I want to stop here. Next broadcast will continue on this by God's grace. Seeing what God's mind for us as believers is for us to become drink offering. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you. We rejoice that you're making these things known to us. We are not sufficient of ourselves concerning this, but we trust you. Thank you for those who have been offered as a drink offering upon our sacrifices and service. Thank you for men you've raised to the position of drink offering to accompany our sacrifice and service of faith that you have received. Thank you for them. We appreciate you for men like Paul. We appreciate you for men even in our generation whom you have also raised such. Thank you. We ask that our sacrifice and our service will come to you even as you desire it. And that we also will become even drink offerings, that we will grow to become drink offerings, that will imbibe Christ to the point where all the only thing found in us is the Spirit of Jesus Christ. The Spirit of Jesus Christ will be in abundant supply, even in our cup, even in our soul. For you desire such as an offering. You desire more of such offering. And in this last day, you desire more of such offering. May we become such offering. Help us, our Father. Help us. Help us keep our gaze on Him. Help us to keep our gaze on Christ until we become fully that which He wants us to be. Thank you, Father. We give you glory today in the name of Jesus. Father, I also want to present all those who are trusting you for their bodies. Thank you for healing is the bread. Divine healing is the children's bread. I ask that they receive their bread right now. In the name of Jesus. Take bread. That body be quickened. That body receive life. In the name of Jesus. I take authority over and against a sister. There's a spirit. I just see a sister. There's a spirit that is hovering around you, bringing all the time thoughts of defilement, thoughts that defile you, that have taken you to the point of sometimes giving your body for fornication. Is a spirit. I take authority over and against that spirit. I command you, spirits, defiling spirits, you spirits that causes defilement in thought and body, I rebuke you. I command you to leave her alone. Be far from her, from her mind and from her body. I command that inordinate passion to dry up. Right now, in the name of Jesus. Daughter, be free. In the name of Jesus. Be made whole. In the name of Jesus. For that particular sister, because the Lord is just showing it to me and showing me what has taken place in her soul. It has become just because you've yielded to it for a long time. It is not just anymore, just something, a spirit was taking advantage of that place because there is an infirmity in the soul. And it's just like somebody who is carrying a putrefying sore will attract flies all over. You've been carrying that putrefying sore in your soul and then it's attracting. But the spirits are driven away and I'm commanding that part of your soul in the name of Jesus, receive life. Receive strength from Christ. Receive strength right now. Receive strength. Stand up and go back no more to it. I hedge you round about. Your mind, I hedge round about. I hedge round about with faith and love. Yea, even with salvation. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. We give God praise today. We give God praise. Thank you. See you next time in A Peace to Life.
We trust you have been blessed by this message. For more inquiries, please visit www.nlwc.church or call 0909-054-2599. You can also contact us by WhatsApp on 0803-688-4759. God bless you.
Oh, by the new and living way, consecrated for the birth.